Chronicles, like Samuel and Kings, were one book in the Jewish Bible. To translate from Hebrew to Greek requires approximately one-third more words than the original Hebrew. The length of the scrolls actually determined how many words could be applied to each scroll. The original Hebrew Bible, there were three sections to which books were allocated. There was the Law, the Prophets, and the Writings, which included Chronicles. There were 11 books included in the Writings and the books of the Chronicles. A single book at that time was the last book in the Hebrew Bible following Ezra and Nehemiah. The book was written after or just before the Israelites returned from exile in Babylon. And the scripture of Chronicles covers the same time frame as does the books of Samuel and books of Kings. It is generally accepted that Ezra was the chronicler using historical documents, both scriptural and extra-scriptural. There is, however, a significant difference in the perspective and thrust of the writings. Kings was written by and for a proud people, but Chronicles portrays a people truly broken and spiritually uncertain. So this book was provided by God and written in a pastoral way to restore, lift up, and encourage the downhearted and downtrodden Israelites. It is a working of God's grace. One of the main themes of both books of Chronicles is the Davidic lineage. The writer is giving the people a hero on which to pin their hopes that, in fact, they do have a future in God's kingdom. God was preparing them for reminding them the future of the Messiah would come from the Davidic line. It should be observed that there is no mention of the northern kingdom, except where it is absolutely necessary to relate what God is doing with Judah, the southern kingdom. The reason for that is that the northern kingdom had served the purpose of God, and he was through with them and eliminated them. They had turned to God and walked. They had turned away from God and not walked in his ways. If they had, there probably still would be a northern kingdom. When God has exhausted his efforts, he just let them go the way of their choice. Paul speaks out in Romans 1:21 through 25, where they knew God, but neither glorified God nor gave thanks to him, so he gave them over their own way. What is your belief about God's use for our country? Billy Graham, some of his later crusades, would make the statement, if God doesn't judge America, he will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. The first nine chapters of the book contains two sets of genealogies. One, chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 2, verse 2, is for the period from Adam to Israel. Chapter 2, verse 2 to the end of the chapter 8 is listed genealogies of the tribe of Israel. Personally, I find it difficult to wring spiritual value out of these genealogies, but I have to pinch myself and remember 2 Timothy 3:15 through 17, where all scripture is profitable. Jacob's 12 sons started the listing, but Judah is listed first because he became the most prominent. The following of each line is selective. It follows some, but not others. In the middle of the genealogies, there's a very interesting vignette about Jabez, who was implied to be one of the line of Judah and decided to be more honorable than his brothers. The name Jabez means pain, and a name like that could be a burden. It is placed here to draw our attention to the things important to God. Now, Jabez was really a nobody, but God is a God of nobodies and values everyone regardless of stature, positions, wealth, intelligence, or personal ability. It is one of Satan's greatest weapons he uses against us to tell you you are a nobody. He will whisper, reminding you of great sins that you have committed and you are not achieving what God wants from you. James 4:7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Let's take a quick look at Jabez. Jabez knew where the need could be filled and that it would be a true spiritual answer when it could come from God. His request is direct but open-ended, leaving the result or silence of mercy to God. It is not Jabez's agenda or any kind of deal. Jabez is offering an empty cup to God to fill any way that God pleased. The request was to expand the field of vision. The danger for us is to be satisfied where we are and not ask God for something more. However, there is some danger also on the other side of that asking things above our pay grade. Presumption, name it and claim it. Jabez understood that the more God blesses, Satan moves you up on a target list. So wisely, he asked for protection. Can blessings dull your dependency on God? He got what he asked for, like Jacob, who kept a hold of God until there was a change in the situation. The remainder of the book deals briefly with Saul, who chose the path of compromise and sinfulness. Not much redeeming value there. David's mighty warriors are recognized and lauded for their faithfulness to and sacrifice for David. These men quietly, like superheroes supplied by God to support and protect David. Several chapters are devoted to David bringing the ark to Jerusalem. And in the act of so doing, David dances with joy of the Lord in the process of his display for his love of things of God. Michal, his wife, and the daughter of Saul, despised David for this dance. It is a vivid picture of 2 Corinthians 2:13 about believers being unequally yoked. 1 Chronicles concludes with in-depth detail of the preparations David makes for the building of the temple and his farewell message and challenge. Then he dies, a man truly after God's own heart. May your day be filled with blessings of peace.